Blog Talk Radio.
Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Witches are gonna break the table tonight. Give it to them, and I'm gonna give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing about my doggone brother. There ain't no doggone tomorrow, brother. We gonna do it today, and we gonna do it.
Hold up.
Man up.
What are you?
I'm comfortable.
It's time to man up, man up.
All right, everybody.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn question.
Man up.
Behold this. Life. Real life.
That's what real men do.
Man up.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
What's going on? Happy Friday.
What's going on? Good afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody. Good evening. Well, first of all, for those who's tuning in, we want to welcome everyone, to the Man Up Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Nas, show producer and co-host with, of course, the team, my brother in crime, not in crime, but my brother that's on point. You know, my brother on point, Mr. Edward L. Fairley is on deck. Want to say hello to him, of course. How you doing today, my brother?
Wonderful. Right. I woke up today, man.
Hey, man, God is good all the time. And, of course, I want to say hello to Miss Sonia of the Raven Talk Show for joining us.
Hello. I was over here grooving with Ann and the crew, and you cut me off. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't even get to the high notes yet.
Nah, he ain't cut you off. We heard that little ad lib at the end.
We heard that. So we had to proceed at that moment. Yeah, but once again, you know, we want to welcome everyone to the Man Up Talk Show, and you know, tonight we're gonna be just going an hour and a half because there's some things I got to take care of because it appears that I'm getting older soon, and I have a birthday coming up, and the family want to do their thing for me, I guess.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
when's your birthday?
When is it? When's the 25th? Monday.
Monday. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the birth date. So, you know, we want to welcome all those listeners, those that tuned in from New York, New Jersey. We got some friends in Ohio. We got a couple friends. And, of course, in Virginia, big shout out to Virginia, to my brother,
hey.
You know, his home state, you know, they're there always. You know, we want also to extend a hello to North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and those who tune in, check us out. So we, you know, once again, we appreciate everyone that tuned in. But I have an announcement, you know, for those who have been following the show, we appreciate you. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways, and we're making moves definitely. The Man Up Show is going to stay, but it's always an extension of what we do. We want to officially, and, you know, you actually want to officially make the announcement that Brother Brother Edward L. Fairley will be having his own show to the root of it, and we will hopefully be kicking it off. Not hopefully, we will be kicking it off by next month. So congratulations, brother.
Hey.
Thank you.
So, you know, he's going to go in. It's going to be, you know, his personality to the show, you know, and I'll be behind, you know, the boards doing what I do. So, you know, we encourage everybody to check out the show. The Man Up Show, you know, they'll definitely still be here. We'll talk about the stuff in the street. You know, we're doing different things. You know, we're just trying to build on what we're trying to do here, and hopefully we're empowering to a lot of communities and people out there. You know, we believe in positive and strong talk that people can tune into, you know, just after work, chilling out or whatever. We want you to have a good time and also get enlightened. So once again, we thank you and we appreciate everybody that tunes in.
Amen.
But it appears it appears that we're going to be talking about a certain subject tonight. And the subject that we talked about kind of stems off a nut. Once again, my brother Eddie, he always enlightens, you know, when we talk about a subject. He kind of said something last week about we go through things for a purpose. And I believe the topic that kind of just came to me was what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And he, you know, he basically explained how we go through adversities or trials and tribulations for a reason. You know, it makes us who we are. You know, whether it makes
you
on a positive or it makes you more on a negative. You know, but you know, we as human beings, it makes us. It develops who we are and how do we deal with different things. You know, some people deal with adversities different. You know, but we're all different. We're all human beings. God made us different, so. You know, I just thought it was an appropriate topic to talk about. You know, once again, my brother Eddie, and of course, Ms. Raven, you know, these type of things. You know, sometimes we guys talk, you just enlighten me. So, once again, brother, you did it again. You know, I'm always going to say that. You did it again. You know, when you said that, I thought about it all week long, how we go through things on purpose, you know, and I don't get mad, you know, for those. So my Christian brothers and sisters, for those who go through stuff, I mean, ain't nobody go through more things than, of course, you know, Jesus Christ. And, of course,
exactly.
many other powerful prophets out there, people of history in the Bible has went through so much other things, especially our people that have been in slavery. So, you know, I hate to hear kids like, you know, all the lights are out. Or my brother Eddie, you know, what he went through when, you know, him growing up, you know, people always had it worse than you. I tell my son, I used to hear my mom say all the time, like, you know, damn, boy, you know, stop crying. There's always somebody who has it worse than you.
Right.
And when I heard that, it didn't resonate until I got older. I'm like, damn, you know, all right, food's a little low, but what about people that haven't eaten in about a week or 2 weeks or even a month?
So, or even a year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this topic, brother, it really meant a lot to me because I believe for some reason God is funny with me, brother, and he just puts me to the test all the time, but I figure there's a bigger picture because no matter what I go through in life and what I've been through, and much like many of my brothers that's in the street or those who's locked down, also big shout out to all my brothers who and sisters who's been locked down, who are locked down. You know, keep your head up. You know, there's something that you can get from that, you know,
that's
a
right.
lesson. You know, so I say that to those, you know, because my man, I ran to a brother who just got out. He listened to the show. I told him the topic today. He's like, man, I needed that. I need to hear that. That is going to be all right because it is. So, you know, this topic means a lot to me, brother. So, Brother Eddie, I'm going to need you to do what you do best and definitely bring the enlightenment.
I mean, what it all boils down to is where do I start? I'll start by saying this, really, man. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. So without bad judgment, whether yours or someone else's, you lack experience. So in order for you to get good judgment, you have to get experience, but in order for you to get experience, you have to have bad judgment, whether it's your bad judgment and making bad decisions in life or reading about someone else's bad judgment. And that's what causes you to get your experience or become just a better or wiser person. But in the end, there's good in everything. I absolutely you can't appreciate light without knowing what darkness is. Does that make
sense?
You can't appreciate love without experiencing hate. You have to have one or the other, or else you can't really appreciate or necessarily know that the other exists. So that's basically what the whole focal point of today is just shifting our perspective so that we can appreciate the little trials or hurdles that we go through so that we can grow through them and become better people. As far as our outlook on lives, our perspectives, and just becoming wiser. The problem is a lot of people get so caught up in the experience and the frustration or the sadness that came behind it that they miss the opportunity to grow from it and get that newfound good judgment or what have you. You know, me, Nas, we were just talking a little while ago, and I said, you know, my way of teaching, I tend to kind of, you know, in a way, set people up to where it might be considered embarrassing once I finish enlightening you. But at the same token, if you trip, say you're at like a big campus or university at a homecoming, everybody's on the campus, and you're walking on the grass, and you trip and fall in front of everybody, and everybody laughs at you. On that campus at that homecoming, every time you walk past that spot in the future, you're going to kind of slow down and watch where you're going and see what's going on. And I say that to say this, it's those embarrassing moments or those moments that really stick out to you that force you to learn from them or kind of walk in that area or on that topic with caution so that you grow from it. So I will intentionally do something to you, whether it's because I'm upset with you because you try to play me or I'm just trying to enlighten you. I just like to get you in a predicament where you use your words or your situation to kind of get a message across to you. Actually, I stay with stories. Yeah. I remember I was 15, and this is one of the times when somebody tried to play me. I was 15, and I worked at Radio Shack, and the guy came in the store, and he asked for my help, so I'm walking him around, and just out of the blue, he says, you got a woman's job. And I'm like, what? He said, you got a woman's job. I was like, and people laughed at me. You know, at 15, 16, you don't really like being laughed at. I was still witty, but I'm like, no, this dude didn't just try to play me in Radio Shack in front of all these people. So he said, yeah, you got a woman's job. And people laughed, and I was like, so I think you have a man's job. He said, yes, I have a man's job. And I said, well, what do you do? He said, I'm a mechanic. I said, well, are you a good mechanic? Now I'm setting him up. He don't even realize it. I said, are you a good mechanic? He said, the best in town. And I was like, okay, so do you got a lot of customers? He said, yeah. I said, do they come back a lot? He said, all the time. I said, then you're not a good mechanic.
Mm.
I said, you're a crappy mechanic. I said, if these people are coming to you all the time, you suck. You are a bum. Now you can let this lady over here take your order, because I'm not dealing with you. But that was my way of teaching him that you don't just come at nobody coming out your side of your neck not knowing, you know what I'm saying, who they are, what they're about, or anything like that. Not to mention, you shouldn't be talking down to anybody anyway. But
right.
That's what I mean by I will take stuff that you say, and I might flip it and just force you to see yourself, like I said, that mirror again, and come to a conclusion based on your original conclusion. And that's what I mean by you have to be able to appreciate the darkness as well as the light, or the hate as well as the, you know, as well as the love.
That's right. That's right. You know, for those who are tuning in, once again, you're checking out the Man Up Talk Show. Tonight's topic is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We got a couple callers on the hold. We'll get to you shortly. So please, you know, just bear with us for a hot minute. But you're listening to my man, brother Eddie. I like to call him Eddie because he will correct me. But it's Edward L., the author, the motivational speaker, the host, and also the future host of his own show going down next month to the root of it. Am I saying the right title? Is that the title what we got right now?
Yeah, it's split between to the root of it and getting to the root of it. And actually, remember that meeting we talked about? It's a go. We're already in the right. We're going to start the writing stages. So I will be having my own TV show soon.
Oh, man, God is good all the time. God is good. You see, things happen when God is a blessing on stuff. Once again,
Can I just say something? Okay.
And, well, you know where I'm getting ready to go, right?
you spoke it in yesterday, last week.
Thank you. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I still have this. I got trust issues, and I don't allow myself to get excited about anything. So this is where Raven came into play. So she was like, she knew about the meeting for today, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm not getting excited. She's like, that's great. I said, whoa, calm down. It didn't say I got a show or anything yet. I said, relax. She said, oh, no, I'm speaking it into existence. It's going down. You're getting a show. I was like, okay, well, at least somebody's optimistic in this whole thing. I said, we will see. So that's where she's making sure that she adds it in. But I also have a meeting actually next Wednesday to they heard the idea of the second book that I'm working on, which is a children's book, and they got excited and said they might pitch that to Pixar, as well as supposed to meet with a guy that has access to Broadway plays, and they're thinking about making it a little Broadway play as well. So. We'll see what happens next week.
Oh, very good, brother. Very good.
See, and that's all I got to say about that.
Thank y'all for the support.
It's a lot of support and love going down, you know. So those have been tuning, watching, and following my brother Eddie right here. You know, he's been doing his thing, and you know, God got a vision for him. You know, and I knew that when I first met with his brother. For those checking in, you know, those been following the show, you can definitely relate to what's going on. It appears we have another listener calling in. I'm going to take this listener. Eddie, you help me out here. Area code 678.
We're
going to take the call anyway.
Take them.
All right, here we go. We got two callers on the line. Once again, we want to welcome you to the Man Up Talk Show. It's yours truly, Mr. Naz. How may I help you? Welcome to the show. Yes, we still on hold there. Yeah, okay. We had another caller, so I guess they'll get back to us.
Okay.
We'll get back to that. It was two calls that called in, so let me see if they got them back on the line. So they're probably just listening. So once again, getting back to the topic a little bit, you know, this topic.
That's perfect. Actually, that's a perfect segue. You know how I link stuff, you know, Mr. Relationship. You know, it aligns with what doesn't kill you make you stronger. My book, originally, I'm going to give you all a little history of my book. The Handbook for Increasing Your Relationship IQ. Originally, I wrote this book with hopes of helping people with relationships. When I sent it out to publishers to try to get on or get published, they said the content was pretty good, but they can't market me because I'm not a doctor. I don't have a degree. I don't work in that field or anything like that, so they cannot market me. Most people, or a lot of people, just consider, you know what, all these query letters you're writing is not for me, is not whatever, but I knew I had a message that I needed to get out there, so I ended up taking the steps that I took. I raised the money to actually get my book published, and I didn't come out of my pocket a dime because people believed in me and invested in me, so I got my book published, and now those people that said they couldn't market me are trying to now to take my book and use it so that they can for their benefit, and it's like it's a no-go. I'm doing all of my stuff, my promoting and selling my book on my own. But what it helped me to do is that experience forced me to learn the ins and outs of self-publishing and helping others to self-publish and know the benefit of self-publishing versus traditional if they want to take that route. And I've helped a lot of people go through that. So I had to go through that bad time, if you will, and being told that I couldn't do it, there's no way you can market it, or my book is too small so it would never sell as a real book or what have you. So all of that stuff, right now, my book is it's already endorsed by several counseling centers as the prerequisite for their marriage counseling, and my book is selling and helping people. Remember I talked to you last week, Naz, about the couple. Somebody won my book at a library because I sent it to a library, and I sent her extras, so she did a giveaway. The lady won my book, and she gave it to her parents. Now, next month, her parents are getting, they're renewing their vows. They had been separated for a year. They read my book, and they decided to reconcile and that they can make it. So my book has just helped a daggone couple that was contemplating divorce. So, again, from me deciding that, you know what, this is not a bad situation. It's just a setback, and it's clearly the route that I'm not supposed to take, so I need to take this and just try to make the best of it.
That's good. That's great. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, he's making the situation, you know, something that he stepped out on faith to make it happen. You know, Brother Eddie, I mean, you know, once again, you know what I mean? You kick it all the time. You definitely motivate me. And as much, trust me, those brothers listening, those who are listening, you motivate a lot of people in a lot of ways.
Man.
That's
thanks,
why,
man.
You know, people are behind you, like myself, brother. You know, I'm behind you 110%. You know how I do. I'm with you, bro. So, you know, I'm full promotion, full steam. So you just gave me a recharge to the battery now. So time to pick it up.
That's
That's what's up.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that this is all great blessings. I think we got this call on back online. You want me to take the call? This is me, Brother Eddie. Yeah, let's take this call. Let me see what we got here. Welcome to the show. You're on the show with the Man of Talks with yours truly, Mr. Nass and Brother Eddie. And, of course, Ms. Raven. How may I help you? Okay. All right. I guess the person just wanted to see the show, and it's all good. It's okay.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Please feel free to call.
You know,
a lot of people, what they do is if they're driving, they're out and about, they'll put it on their phone, and they'll listen to the show while driving. I know I did that before earlier this week when I listened to Raven's show. So getting back to topic. Oh, we got a question. Just got the text coming in. Okay. All right, here we go. All right. Brick City 911 hit me. I think we got that text last time from my man. Bill, a big shout out to North PD. You know, I ain't going to put you on blast in front of your boys, but he hit me with the text. You know, Brother Eddie, okay. When you are, the title does say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but how do you stay positive when it seems like every day is a struggle?
Oh, that's good. Now, a lot of people know I'm spiritual. I'm a very spiritual person. When I'm not struggling, that's when I worry. Let me tell you why. For you people that are spiritual or whatever, get over it. You just got to listen to this part. if you are going in the right path, the enemy will do everything that they can to prevent you from going the right path. If you are going in the wrong path, the enemy is going to do everything they can to help you continue to bring glory to their game plan, if that makes any sense. And it's not until those things just roll off your shoulders that the enemy will eventually try to leave you alone or get to the point where they're like, this dude is not, he's just not buying or not biting into the stuff. So let me first start by saying that's where I began. I was the most pessimistic dude in the world, and that's based off of my foundation, my upbringing, my life experiences. Y'all don't have that kind of time to know that story. But after that, I can't really tell you what caused me to start looking at the opposing side and begin to look at the good things at stuff of things. But I was so accustomed to looking at the bad things. When I started looking at the good side of things, I began to see the whole picture because as a reflex, I saw the bad part. You know what I'm saying? But. When I started looking at, well, what's good about this, that's when I started being enlightened in a manner where I said, oh, well, it's not that bad because this over here or that provided me an opportunity to go this route or what have you. It's when you get bogged down in the whole negative aspect of things that you miss out on the opportunity. So it's definitely a challenge. It's something that you have to work at, but I say that again. If you don't have any struggle, I would question whether I'm going in the right path, because anything that is good is going to be some pushback to it. Anything that's bad, let's put it this way: drug dealers and people that are hustling and doing stuff illegal. How does their money come? Fast, right?
Right.
It comes really quick, right? Because, again, that's where the enemy wants you to go. He wants you to destroy other people and wants you to potentially destroy your life and immediately get you behind bars or whatever, because you are a potential person that can change the world if you use that mentality for something better. So I'm going to keep providing you with all the great things that you you like or want or lust for to keep you on this route. Whereas the person that's trying to get it together or do the right thing, you are about to seriously impact God's kingdom. So I got to throw everything in your way to prevent you from getting there. So grind. I'm telling you, when I'm on my grind, the minute everything is smooth sailing is the minute I'm going to get back and check to see what I'm doing to make sure I'm not going in the wrong direction. Does that make sense? Because the enemy doesn't want you to go in the right direction. So every type of thing. That's why a lot of people, they end up, if they become Christians or if they decide that they want to be more positive and go on the right path or whatever, it seems like as soon as they make that decision, a whole bunch of crap comes their way. And it's to deter you and push you back to where you were, so that you can do the enemy's work as opposed to a righteous person's work or God's work. So I hope that helps you out, bro.
No, my man, he got the exclamation points going across. So Brick City 9/11, be safe out there. I hope that Brother Eddie gave you an enlightenment. This, without putting his name out there, this man is a smart man, but sometimes we, as smart men per se, or those men that have some experience like that, we can always use, I call it, upliftment or more learning, So when I know him, when he put an exclamation point, they're basically saying thank you. You helped him out.
God bless you, bro.
Yeah, so, big shout-out to those, all of our law enforcement officers out there working hard in the street. With two pictures, love you.
That's the scary thing, man. People have a tendency to quit right when they're almost at the cusp. And I think that's the reason why I'm scared. If I'm scared of anything, I'm scared to quit right before I could be hitting the jackpot. Like, I might be there. I might be one day away, and the day I decided to turn my back and say, you know what, forget it. That day was the day I could have been meeting with somebody that was going to take me where I needed to be or needed to go. And it's like, I've been in it too long for me to give up.
That's real talk. I mean, for a lot of fellas, of course, in the street or in the struggle, it just seems that, for those brothers, just going out to the younger brothers, those listening, those checking us out, is the Man Up Talk Show. Tonight's topic is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. For those who's looking for a job, I understand. For our younger brothers, because I ran into a couple of younger brothers, and, Brother Eddie, you can feel me on this one, and the listeners can feel me. Raven, you can understand this. Even our sisters out here, when things get rough, you seem like you're trying, I can't find a job, the money ain't coming like it's supposed to. You can't just lay down. Because Brother Eddie said, you never know. That one extra effort that you do could be that door. It could be that opportunity. So you don't give up. So it may seem like, I'm struggling month after month. I can't find a job. Maybe that's not the job you're supposed to have. But you're trying your best to do what you have to do. So those younger brothers, younger sisters, and our older brothers, older sisters out there on the struggle, trying to take care of their family, trying to take care of themselves, put food on the table, just trying to make it. Keep your head up. We feel you. We understand you. And, tonight's topic is basically dedicated to you, so hopefully you can find inspiration in what we're talking about. So we're just talking from real talk and where we're coming from. Me personally, I'm going to share a story. I'm kind of borrowing one of your tactics, Brother Eddie, if you don't mind. One show, one movie, I don't know if I'm going too deep on this one here. It kind of chokes me up a little bit, I consider myself a man's man, but for some reason, this movie I relate to, Pursuit of Happiness.
I talk about
that because it's a sensitive nature to me, but I've learned from my grandfather and real men. A real man know how to talk about his emotions and his feelings. So I've learned that as I got older. I've learned not to hold that in. So I don't mind talking about the struggles I've been through. I've been homeless before, when I did my transition, because when I went from being a wayward or a young man that was out there doing everything wrong, but as soon as I turned my life to God and I had my son, I was told by somebody, a family member, the ways of the father wear upon the son. And I thought about that. It tore me up. I thought about it. Now, mind you, this was told to me when I was on the block doing what I wasn't supposed to do. I was on the block, you know, in Orange. And I thought about that. I'm like, damn. Damn. And it tore me up. So I knew I had to change. I had a little son.
Yeah.
Got cut. My son. And I started changing. But I had some past issues I had to deal with. So here it is. I'm a young man trying to change my life to, you know, become into God, trying to point myself in the right direction, get a career together. And I had a son. I wasn't prepared for it. I didn't have the resources to do it. No one taught me. There was no book about it. So it was me and my son. We did what we had to do out here. You know, excuse me, bro. What happened was the journey that we've been through from being picking the wrong women, thinking that, okay, I'm going to try to build a family with this woman. Wrong. That wasn't what I was supposed to do. But in the meantime, I'm dragging my son around with this. He's on my hip. I'm learning to become a better man and father with him.
Mm-hmm.
We're homeless now because I decide I'm not going to let nobody hurt my son. We're homeless. Mm-hmm. We're in the street. I'm struggling, trucking through the snow with his son, trying to find a job. Found a part-time job, two part-time jobs. We're sleeping in the bathroom. We're sleeping in the van at the work. We're doing what we have to do. And come to find, you know, there was no family offering no help. You know, he's a failure. There was no failure. He's a failure. Don't help him. Don't help him. You made your bed laying in. Okay. I basically put on my big man pants, put my pants up. I said, you know, I'm going to get myself out this hole. But that situation I went through made me a stronger man. My son to this day, you know, and I'm very proud of him. I was able to find the right woman in my life. Got a great job working for the state as an investigator. My son, graduate of high school, college, now Eagle Scout. Going to be an FBI agent. So I say that because this subject here, and a lot of brothers that talk to me about it, we share these informations, means a lot to me. Because I talk to a lot of brothers who, young brothers, listen, man, I just got my kid. I don't know what I'm doing. I say that because I want to share this story because I've been through that. I've been through the struggle. I've been homeless. I've given up my last piece of bread to feed my son. You know, I made some bad choices. And I only can hope and pray that I can share that story to let people know. But there's a young brother out there that I bumped into earlier this week that's going through some of the same struggles I've been through. And I told him it's going to be all right. Yeah, I hit him with some money. I gave him everything I had in my pocket because he had his son on his hip right then and there. He wasn't high. He wasn't trying to bump nothing. I just want to feed my son. And that's what he told me. I said, here, bro, I got $10 in my pocket right here. You can have it. You know, he just wanted to feed his son. You know, so he called me. He hit me up. He's like, listen, I got a job now. You know, it's his car washing job, but he got a job and he got a little room in the house. So I'm very proud of that young brother. You know, I mean, Majed, if you hear me, we're going to you, bro.
Man, hey, if y'all don't mind, all you listeners out there, wow, that's like the longest round of applause I've ever heard in my life. That was wow. No. If y'all don't mind, man, let's take a journey through his story and figure out what he actually learned. What was his trip-up moment? I mean, because, okay, clearly he found out what a terrible girl or woman was to end up with this wonderful woman that he's with now, who he would not know was a wonderful woman had he been with those terrible women. You were homeless, you said. I guarantee you there's nothing this man cannot appreciate or doesn't appreciate when it comes to any kind of shelter in his life, which everyone should appreciate. So many people that don't appreciate what they have. So I guarantee you, without asking him, whatever housing or situation that he has, he appreciates everything that he gets or that comes his way and does not take it for granted because he knows how to not have or what it feels to not have. His son, he has watched his father make a decision about him as opposed to being selfish. So now his son knows that when he has his own, or even to consider others as opposed to just yourself. So his son has watched his father be a man of integrity and doing the right thing and just going through this thing to become a better person or a better human being, to the point where when he sees someone else in the street that identifies with his situation, he feels compelled to get his little brother $10. Why? Because the stuff that we go through is not for us, y'all. It's not for you. It's for other people. But if we don't go through it and make it through it, we cannot reach out. We won't have compassion for other people, nor will we have the steps that we can provide them to get through. That's all I'm doing. I'm trying to provide you all with the steps that I use to get to where I am. Because I was where y'all was. I'm very young, but my life story will make me very old if I shared it with y'all. And that's what caused me to appreciate, you know, and I look back at what God has done in the situation, how he wrote my story so that I can communicate with any person or relate to any type of person and have compassion. Because normally when it comes to the older generation, the younger generation, there's a serious gap that keeps them from being able to communicate with each other. But because of my upbringing as a child that forced me to grow up quickly, but at the same time I went through little things as a child, I experienced things that I hear older people talk about, and they wonder while I'm laughing, and they hit me with, the, you don't know nothing about that, boy, you ain't old enough. But little do they know, I experienced exactly what they're talking about because of the way I was raised, especially living in Haiti for a year. So living in Haiti forced me to go through the things that people that were going through here in their younger days as older people experienced, because when in Haiti, them catching up just puts them probably 30, 40 years behind us. So when I lived in Haiti, I was back in the day with my parents, quote unquote, good old days, really. I'm not gonna leave that alone, but it helped me to relate to the older generation as well as me being a younger person. So I say all that to say, you guys gotta pay attention. Don't miss the message. There's so much growth that comes through your struggles, and if you miss it, you'll probably have to continue the test. Because if you think about it, in school, you can't graduate if you don't pass the test. So God might be keeping you in your situation because you won't pass, you won't study with the little short quizzes, pop quizzes that he gives you in life to get you to the next grade. You can't, wow. you cannot pass the daggone class or go to the next level until you pass the test. So you keep doing the same thing over and over again, which is making it obvious that you just don't get it yet. So, okay, Lord, give me all this money, but you can't do right with the little money that you got. You keep making wrong decisions with that. So, but you want more money. Why? I can't trust you with money. Why don't you show me that you can work this money first, and then I'll send money your way. So you guys, there's so much tests and the stuff that we're missing out on, which is keeping us from getting to the next level. And that test could seriously be patience. And I say that, oh, my gosh, I'm glad I brought that up. Patience. So many people are missing out on vacations. It's a crime. And I'm a victim of it. That's how I can speak on it. And what do I mean by missing out on vacations? How many of us have said to ourselves, Lord, if I could just get through this month, I'll be okay? To find ourselves saying it three months later, Lord, if I could just get through this week, I'll be okay. What that means is you got through that damn week you was talking about earlier, right? So you were stressing over time. As a matter of fact, let's go a little step further. You said you got people going through saying, man, I've been out of work for 3 months. I've been out of work for 4 months. I've been out of work for such and such. The fact that you can say I've been out of work, and you're healthy enough to say I'm out of work, and you've clearly eaten so that you can say that you've eaten while you were out of work, is evidence that you are making it daily. Okay?
Mm.
Don't miss out on a vacation stressing. First of all, you need to know who you are and whose you are. If you know who you are and whose you are, I promise you it makes life a whole lot better. Because when you know whose you are and whose you are, you begin to believe in who you are and whose you are, and that person has to keep the promise of who he is and whose he is. So he has to provide for you. And your, the provision might not be what you want it to be. It might be that car, but, hey, it's shelter. It might be bread, but, hey, it's bread. And if you make that thing work, man, boy, I promise you, you will enjoy the fruits that come after your patience and just going through. So many people say, man, I'm going through so much right now. I'm like, well, go through it. You, the key word is through. Nigga, you staying at the same spot. And it's getting my head nerve. Go through it. Go and stay in it. Go through it. And then when you go through it, like Brother Nas, don't forget about the people that's going through it after you and tell them what it is that you've been through so that you can birth some hope in them so that they can get through it just like you did.
All we are
walking testimonies. That's all we are. We're walking testimonies, going through stuff that's not for us, but it's for the person that is going to come after us that needs the advice as to how to get through the testimony that we've been through. But we keep our stuff in because we're so scared of people looking at us crazy. Man, I don't need them to know my past, know my business. Man, your past and your business will help other people make their situation, their past, and their business. But you're trying to keep it for yourself, and you keeping other people in bondage, man. Come on, we got to do better.
Now
we're going through this stuff for a reason.
It's funny you say bondage. Okay, now my man DeJuan just hit me on text. He just said that it takes patience to understand you got to go through something. You know, the light is at the end of the tunnel. DeJuan just hit that up from Orange, New Jersey.
Let me tell you how. Pessimistic I used to be. That statement right there, I would have been like, well, hell, that light at the end of the tunnel could be a train coming to hit me. And I just want you to see how far I've come. It still crosses my mind because I'm just a person that thinks on both sides of the fence, which just makes me an educated person when I make a decision, as opposed to a narrow-minded one. But I still think about both sides. That's why I can be empathetic to any person, and that's why I can get to the root of the problems because I don't get so caught up in my stuff, how I feel about it. Great example, the dude that shot up the school. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, he killed all those kids. He's trifling. He need to die. Kill, stone him, everything. Like, they just going in on a dude. My first instinct is, yes, Lord, I would be upset if that happened to my child. But what caused that man to do what he did? And what did I find? That dude did all that because of his mother, who was a teacher. She would neglect him and give all her time to students as opposed to him. On top of him being mentally unstable, and with that, all those emotions on top of his disability mentally caused him to go off and shoot his mother as well as all those kids that stole his time in his mind. Get into the root of that for me. I don't feel, okay, let's go ahead and kill this dude. Let's murder him. He gets a chair or whatever. Granted, he's dead, but my mind does not work like most people. Because, again, I see the good and the bad. Okay, what could be the good? Okay, they are starting to put security systems up and stuff now, right? We got to the point where, okay, that's one too many shootings. Let me go ahead and put some police over there. So now we got a tighter security for the kids and stuff. So that's the good that came out of this. Hell, I got a good that came from my father stabbing my mom 9 times in the back when I was a baby. I'm like, dang, he loved her that much that he was not willing to share her with anybody else? That's love. That's
wow.
In my mind, that's a twisted way of thinking, but you can't deny the fact that he didn't love her, and whether it was controlling or whatever, but he was just not willing to allow my mom to leave him. He was that type of person that was like, yo, I understand because my mom wanted to leave because her thing was, I still party, I still smoke. I can't see myself being somebody's first lady inside somebody's church. And my husband is a pastor. When I still like to drink, I like to smoke. And my father's like, nah, baby, I mean, you are who you are. I still want you to know that's your calling. That's your calling. That's what you do. That's your calling. That's not for me. I don't want to keep you from doing what you do. You do what you do. No, well, his mind went from, well, if I can't have you, nobody can. I love you that much that if I can't have you, nobody will. And he tried to offer. Now, y'all might be listening. This is my mother. So however y'all feel about what y'all saying, I could care less. This is my mom. I'm looking at the good in the predicament. In the sense of this dude really, really cares for you. And he might, the way he shows it might be jacked up, but he really cares for you. He don't want you to go nowhere. Call it controlling or whatever. I mean, I remember when he was in, hearing stories about when he was in jail with other women. When he met again, the lady somehow came up. If she was to take you back, would you take her? He said, yes, I would take her back. This dude, like, wow. So it's good in everything. We might not want to look at it, but I'm telling you all this stuff to say that there is good in your situation. If you don't see it yet, if you look hard enough, you probably will. And I just need you guys to understand that, for one, you're not going through this stuff alone. And that's there's so many ways I can go with that, whether it be spiritually, family, or just the end result in itself. You're not going through it alone, and you're not going through it for you. You might very well get a blessing in the end. You might receive something that's so wonderful that it's like, oh my gosh, dang, had you so. And let's think about it. I apologize for going back and forth. Let's think about it. You said nobody went through it as much as Jesus. What you failed to state is nobody went through it intentionally. He went through it intentionally. Talk about love. I know what I'm about to go through. That's why in the Bible he's like, Lord, I mean, please take this cup away from me. I see what's about to happen, but if it's your will, let it be done.
Let's get it on.
So you saw it coming. Now, granted, and this was crazy. Some of us, even if we see what's going to come at the end, we still won't go through the little thing that we got to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our ending is nowhere like his, and I'm speaking from experience because I was planted with my vision of me being a speaker, a motivational speaker when I got older. And that's coming from working at Radio Shack, being a technician, calling into houses, hating English when I came up in school. Like, really? Speaking? Writing a book? Okay. But going through all the stuff that you, if we knew what we was going through, some of us still wouldn't. And I say that in the sense of, like, I just still don't want to go through that pain. A good example, I was real sick several months ago. A lady was like, I'm telling you, man, the best thing to do is go ahead and take some cod oil. What is it, cod fish oil? Or, you know what I'm talking about?
No, not castor oil.
Some castor oil. And I'm like, just the thought of that make me like want to hurl. But castor, I cannot deny that in the past when I took it from my mom and I'm forcing it down my throat, that it didn't make me better. But I was not willing. I was not willing to do. I was not willing to do what I knew I needed to do to get well. So I just took. I just took the pain. I was like, I'll just be sick. I'm not taking it. I'm not. I refuse to take that nasty behind cast on. So
I'm gonna beat you. Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. So. We got it. We have to. If you're gonna go or get something good, you gotta go through it. I'm sorry, it's just the inevitable. But what will make it easier is you looking for the positives while you're going through. And that's what I'm trying to get you guys to see. Like I said, that's something that my wife, I'm gonna tell you right now, she can't stand about me. My wife can't stand that about me. I will find the positive in anything, or I will show her the opposite of the opposing side of whatever it is that she's feeling or upset about, and just help her. I'm like, yo, in the end, you deciding to be mad. I just provided you with a possibility that this could be what can relieve you of your anger. And she's like, well, you know what? Sometimes I just want to be mad. I'm like, dang. Tell me how you really feel. But just keep in mind that you're deciding to be angry. And because I can find the positive in anything, and I don't get frustrated. I'm a very, very patient person. Even when stuff looks so bad, I'm just calm because, again, like I said, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I already read the end of the book. We win. I cheated. I read the end of the book. We win. I win. I'm a part of that inheritance. I'm good. He's going to take care of me. So there's no need for me to worry. It might look bad right now. We might have to eat a smaller meal or a meal that you don't want to eat. But this is so temporary, and the meals we about to start eating in a few will make this meal taste so good. You better love on this because this is about to be the last time you can get some. You're going to be talking about, man, I remember them days we used to eat them noodles.
Don't judge the noodles. Hold on. Don't judge the noodles.
Exactly. That's right. I don't judge the noodles. But I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. You're gonna miss those days cause for what we're about to eat. So look ahead, man. I think our biggest problem as a people is we do it backwards. We tend to look to the future when stuff is looking bad. Looking at our situation is what I mean. Like, dang, I ain't got no job. My kids acting up. Such and such. So you look in front of you then. And then when you're doing good, you look to behind you like, man, I hope people don't find out how I used to be, what I used to be like or whatever, as opposed to when you're going through, looking behind to see where you've been through and made it through. And when things are looking good, making sure you look to the future and just know that some great things are coming. So we tend to do it backwards. We do it backwards, man, and we get stuck in a funk, and we end up not appreciating life. And I tell people all the time, you will never see a tomorrow. Nor a yesterday. No one in the history of life. Huh?
Now, brother Eddie, let me ask you a question on top of that. It's funny you said that there. How can you relate? Like, how can you? All right, let's just change. Take what you said. Now, we talked about individuals dealing with adversities and utilizing trials and tribulations to catapult them on a better situation. Now, let's put that into relationships now. Now, you got many relationships. I've heard from both sides of the coin. Now this is right up your alley, brother. I know it's right there for you. You got many relationships that, you know, the man, you know, things are just not going well. You know, they got together for whatever reasons. You know, stuff like that. Things are just not going well. You know, now sometimes you got people saying, you know, get out the relationship. But should they try to go through the trials and tribulations together and try to learn to become better? And how long do you put up with that? Like a woman with a man who, for whatever reason, just can't get it together, but they're in a relationship, they're married or whatever you want to call it. Same thing vice versa. You know, this man working hard, this woman's kind of like, you know, I ain't doing nothing at home. I ain't doing, you know, whatever, however you want to spin it, whether she's at home or he's at home, you know, how do you put that, how you say, trying to get the words together for it, please pardon me. How you put that together? How do you deal with that? How do you make a relationship stronger with trials and tribulations in a relationship? How do you make it stronger? How do you deal with it from a male and a female perspective?
I don't think male and female anyway, so it's going to be a general statement. But
okay.
Some of this stuff is preventative. So I'm going to say this. If you married somebody that wasn't doing crap before y'all got married and now you're expecting them to do crap, you need to kill yourself because you're the reason why the situation is the way it is. You got problems on yourself, and you need to just get over yourself because you just made a bad decision and you hoped that it was going to change. Get over yourself. You just wait it out, and it's going to be a long way because they're not changing. Okay? All right. The next, I just doubt it.
Right.
If you have somebody that you you met, they had drive and ambitions and all that stuff like that, and something happens, they lose their job, and they get into a funk, they can't find another job, that, I say stick that out as long as you can and try to be a cheerleader and try to push them to do better or get that spark back or whatever, because, again, that is not necessary. That test might not be just theirs. Matter of fact, it might not be their test.
That hold on, brother. We got a call online. Let me take this call real quick for you, brother. Hold on. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let me see. Good. Hello, you're on the line with the Man of Talk Show with Brother Eddie and Naz and Sister Raven. We got on the line.
Oh, I'm just listening. I'm enjoying the conversation.
All right. All right. Well, I'm good. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just really enjoying the conversation, especially the last part of it. How long are you supposed to?
So, I mean, listen, just Tony, you know, we got Tony Shannon online. You know, she's following
the
show.
Hi, everybody. I support all day. Shadow World.
All right. Tony, but listen to the show because we about to go in a little bit, if you don't mind.
Hey, I don't care. Y'all know I like when people go in. Let's go for it. I want to hear.
All right. Well, thanks. I'm going to put you on hold for a second there. We got a couple people online listening as well. You know, for those who are listening in New Jersey, New York, we appreciate the love. But getting back to what you're saying, brother, about the relationship part.
Yeah, I would recommend you sticking it out. You know, when I say stuff like sticking it out, please, because I know people, man, their minds could go so many different ways. I don't mean stay in abusive relationships. If they're doing something that could possibly detriment the house or their health or your health or whatever, whether their funk gets so bad that they result in drinking and all that stuff like that, I'm not saying put yourself in danger. Now, I am saying if you got somebody that's going through and you married them, that is you're supposed to be there to support them through good or bad. And that's what throws me off about this daggone just our generation of people, period. And in the sense of, it kind of reminds me of a story. I was at a restaurant and there was a guy, and I don't know what caused him to say this or speak about his name, but the guy was like, he said, "My name is Kevin." That's K as in knife. And I'm like, K as in knife? This dude is the deepest dude I ever met in my life. Who says K as in knife? And, like, who uses a word that has the silent letter in your name to help someone spell your name? And I equate that to us when we say our vows and we say for better or worse, till death do us part. I think the worst is silent to us. And we just disregard the worst aspect of our vows and just assume that because it's all hunky dory, which is why you made it to the marriage in the first place, that it's gonna stay that way. It just does not work that way. Not to mention two people just in one location for a certain period of time. I can't say how long. It could be a week. It could be a month. There's going to be conflict. That's just a given. But that's just an opportune time to grow. That's just an opportune time to grow and better yourselves and get through different obstacles. But so I say you stick through. You have to stick through it so that, for one, you can grow. Whether the whole thing was, dang, I didn't. First of all, any successful marriage that you see where these people just absolutely love you, where they, you know, that kind of couple like me and my wife that just make people sick, like, dang, he's really paying attention to what she's saying. He really likes her. He's really, like, in love with this woman. He's really, like, all googly eyes with her at a daggone restaurant. When you see people like that, they've been through some stuff together. I don't care what you say. It's either at the beginning of their relationship or after they've been through so much stuff and they made it that it's nothing that they could go through that's going to rip them two apart, because they just been through so much crap. contemplated leaving each other off and on. And I'm speaking about myself. That's definitely my marriage. Like, I wanted to leave. She didn't like me. I can't stand looking at you. You make me sick. But because we've been through all that stuff, it's like now, like, are you serious? That's what you bring into our relationship? You think that's going to ruin our stuff? You got to be kidding me. And we are just a wonderful team, but it's only because we stuck through. And we've been through stuff together. If you look at any kind of people that have been through boot camp together or frat brothers or what have you, if they haven't seen each other for years and they come and they finally see each other and they haven't seen each other for years, it's almost like a gay reunion, how they hug each other and get all excited, yo, baby, or whatever, hugging on each other and everything. And the reason why is because they've been through some stuff together. They've been through some crap. Boot camp, war, whatever, you can't take those kind of bonds away. And that's what causes people to grow stronger, going through crap together. When you go through crap together, those are the things that you can relate to, those are things you can talk about, and those are the things that make you, force you to grow closer. Remember,
right.
We made it through that time when our heat was out, our water heater broke, and we did our heat through the house, through the oven. And we had to all lay down together in the living room. You know, little stories like that. Those are things that, yo, dang, my baby loved me. The water heater broke, and she was like, I don't care. We'll boil the water, and we'll just take a bath together in a tub. I'm not going to my mother's house. Yeah, my mom's water is hot, but our water is cold. So we are going to go through our situation together. I could go to my mom's house. My mom's saying come over. But you know what? No, we are going to go through this together. That's the stuff that will cause people to get closer and build a bond that nobody and no other thing or no grimy little crappy storm can mess up.
So you mean to tell me, brother. So let me get this right. So you're saying, for the listeners, those just checking out the show, is the Man Up Talk Show. The topic tonight is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So you're telling me, you can go through years, I'm talking about years of just crap, and I'm going to say, excuse the listeners, you know, this is not TG or Rated G. I got to be real for who I am. People just go through just crazy bullshit year after year. But you know you love this person. You know, this woman's put up with this man's bullshit for so long. But she knows there's something in it, but she's going to stick by this man. Just stick by this man. And so you're saying that time can also play a part in making you stronger as a couple, no matter how many years you go through it?
Time can can do either or. As like I said,
okay.
It's scary to find out what you could have missed. First of all, let's start with this. That was a 3-year span that I'm talking about with my wife. That wasn't no 2 months. That was a 3-year span. I could count that jump. Like, man, I couldn't stand her. She couldn't stand me. I mean, 3 years. And I call those 3 long years. You know? I mean, we're not talking about a few months, a few weeks, or laying on the couch and not laying next to each other or not just like not really saying nothing to each other. Hell, that's what birthed the book. I had to troubleshoot my own marriage to figure out what the heck was going on to get to the root of it. New shirt coming up soon. to get to the root of it so that I can resolve our issues as opposed to just treating the symptoms, and I can get to the root of the problem so we can relieve ourselves of ever having to go through that crap again. But it took me to troubleshoot from our marriage phase to our relationship phase to when we were dating and back to when we weren't dating each other. We was dating other people. I had to troubleshoot all the way back, get to the root of all those different things for us to get to where we are right now, which is best friends and then lovers.
I got to say congratulations, because it appears that the book helped you become a better man for your relationship and for yourself.
What did I say earlier? I'm here to take y'all through the steps that I've been through to help y'all get out of whatever y'all situation is to get to where I'm at right now. I was not selfish with the information that I got. I refuse to be a selfish person. That's just not who I am. I've always been an open book, And if I can use what I learn or what I know to help you, I'm going to do it. And if you could do the same thing for me, I hope you would too.
Yeah, no, that's those listening, that's just real talk. This is a man who's been through it. Same with myself. You know, we got to go through us, man. We make mistakes. You know, ladies, you know, who's listening, you know, we make mistakes too. I mean, sometimes there's a brighter situation. I mean, hey, brother, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sometimes just looked back in life like, damn, if I did this different, you know, if I can avoid this, I could have been here. Have you ever kind of second-guessed yourself once in a blue moon?
I have no regrets, but I have a whole lot of what ifs. I have no regrets about my life because I'm happy with where I am, but I have a whole lot of what if I did this way? What would happen? What if I did that? No regrets, but a whole lot of what if.
I like that. That's a good analogy there. a whole bunch of what ifs. I can relate to that. That's real talk. I mean, because, you know, sometimes I had that, you know, I talk, you know, me and my missus, and I'll be talking, well, what if you didn't meet me and say you, you know, you stayed, because I went to choirs as kept. I went to, you know, Catholic school my first year of high school, you know, but I got in trouble. I ain't going to tell y'all what I did to get me kicked out. I had to go to public school. But if I would have stayed there, you know, and she's like, well, if you just stayed there and you continue your football career, I was like, yeah, I'd have sold out. I would have sold out. I'd have been married Becky and played in NFL. She was like, oh, my God. No, serious. Real talk, no, serious. No, for real. Let me stop. You know, my apologies to all the athletes out there. No stereotypes to the black brothers, athletes. My apologies. No, but seriously, I like the way you put it is what if. Instead of, you know, once again, you gave me another perspective of how to look at things. Not saying that, you know, what Brother Eddie's saying is right, because we all have our own views on how we look at life and how we would deal with it. But I like the perspective of what if. Because, if I think about that, you know, it's not, you know, if I didn't go through what I went through, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I wouldn't have children that I do have.
Exactly.
So, you know, I sometimes I daydream, what if. But damn, I probably would have got in trouble knowing me. I probably would have been on the news, like, damn, you know, the Nasses, you know, got caught up, you know, DUI, and he's with Becky and Susie, and, you know, I'd have been jammed up.
And that's another thing, like, I was talking about, I'm mad I missed this. I don't know how this just came up, but another thing you learned when you went to your episode of life is who was really your ride or die people.
The worst
time to find that out is when you made it. You found out when you didn't make it. So who the people really is going to turn their back on you, not really down for you, don't really have your back like that. You found out so much stuff that's beneficial to you right now.
Now, hold on, brother.
Come
on, let's be honest right now. We got listeners. I know a couple of listeners. Like, listen, I got a couple people right now. I'm on top of my game. He wasn't even trying to give me $5.
Exactly.
But those who sleep on my man Eddie, check it out. My man got a book, got an upcoming TV show, and he's on the talk show radio segment right now. Now.
You crazy.
Take that, punks. Kick rocks. I'm sorry, brother. I got to keep it real.
No, man, it's so much stuff we can learn. Like, come on, man, if it wasn't for that situation, you wouldn't have knew that your girl was trifling like that and she'd go behind your back and sleep with your man. If you would have married him, if she wouldn't have been exposed, you probably would have married the dude that would be willing to sleep with your girl. That was an opportunity. Granted, you know, it hurt to find out that they both were trifling, but you missed that. You dodged that bullet.
Yeah, true, man. The brothers, y'all hear that, right? Sisters, you hear that. It's the reason why you're not with that trifling person.
It's all in how you look at it, man. You can sit and get upset about it or think about, like, dang, I'm glad I didn't get real in-depth with that person or have a baby by that dude that, you know, that's doing that or whatever, you know. So,
Don't judge me.
That's all I'm saying. As far as,
don't judge
sticking
me.
Around, sticking around with people, that goes, one of my thoughts of the day is where, don't mess around and find out from somebody else how good who you were with was. That's the worst thing you could do. You see them, you're like, dang, I didn't know he was going to end up like that. I didn't know she was going to end up that person. I didn't know, and you still single, or you with some old nutcase. I used to laugh at that. Chris Rock was like, you know why women look at you and just stare sometimes? Because you wasn't their first choice. I was like, that is so wrong. But I would hate for you to be that person that's looking like, dang, like we was talking about that, what if, man, dang, what if I didn't do her dirty like that? She probably would have been that wonderful wife to me. What if I would have stayed? There's so many people that didn't stick around when you was going through yourself, or when a woman was going through, and when they finally got, like, dang, had I stayed, like, he got that, what did you say, 3 months after we broke up? He hit flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You sick in the stomach.
Yeah, yes. Preach, brother. Preach.
So it's like,
preach.
I mean, like I said, if it's not somebody that that's harming you or could harm you or what have you, and like I say, they were a certain way in the beginning, and times just got bad because we all go through seasons. Well, you have a wonderful season all your life. It's just not. It's not the way it works. So if they had a wonderful, you met them at a wonderful season, you see how they do when things are good. They take care of you. They take care of themselves or what have you, and now things fell off. Don't leave that person. You better stick around because they got something coming for them, I'm telling you. They got something, and they might need you to motivate them for that idea or whatever. You know how many things, how many millionaires are here because they went through something bad and they thought of something to help them through whatever it is that they were going through? It took that mistake to happen or that problem to happen for them to come up with something. I mean, come on, we got Amber Alert. Where does that come from? That came from a child being kidnapped. That's where Amber Alert came from. That's where it came from. So it's stuff like that causes or births things that help a whole bunch of people and causes other people to either be rich or prosperous or just awareness to just rise. And it's like don't miss the message. That's all I can say. You gotta go. But again, like I said, don't try to snap on people that you went into the thing knowing they didn't work, knowing that they was never going to daggone work. You think it's just because y'all said I do. You know that's in the book. Are you for the same of a change that they're going to change? You think that you get married because you want to change them, but that's just not the way it works. So some of y'all need to take responsibility. Don't try to be mad. Oh, she don't work. Well, can I see her resume again, Rose? Resume, she ain't never worked. Oh, when? What the heck you thinking?
She should have thought twice when she didn't even know how to spell resume. She kept saying resume.
So how you gonna get mad? Now you want her to get a job? But your father was saying, hey, baby girl, let me take care of you. You don't have to lift a finger. Now you mad, and you gave her a promise you can't keep. Or you got a man that you wanted to take care of, and you lavished him up or whatever. He like, that. I'm game for this kind of ride. Now you mad. He don't do nothing. Well, he didn't start off doing nothing.
Without putting this brother out there, brother, so you said that because I know a brother just like that. That he married, got married to somebody, let's say a couple of years older. That's about it. I'm going to say that much. I didn't say how much.
Mm-hmm.
She flat out told him, I got you, honey. I'll take care of you. I need company. Straight up. Oh, my God. Everything was all good. And I guess after a while, when things got old and gray, and he talking about, I need some more money, and things got a little stale, why don't you get a job? That wasn't the deal. You know, he started looking a little different. He started looking older now. So, you know, he wasn't a little young stud no more she had on her. You know, he's like, you know,
that,
he asking me,
that
why she
boy.
Tripping.
Time is something, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Time is
something
time
else.
Something.
Yeah, I was like, listen, bro, you know, that's the agreement. You want to leave, you know, explain to the judge. That's that was a part of the initial agreement.
Yeah.
I hate to sound like that, but that's just real talk. But I agree with you, bro. If you marry somebody, you're with somebody, they came to the table a certain way, you can't expect them to change overnight. Now, it's beautiful they blossom to something else. I agree with you totally.
Exactly.
It's beautiful they blossom. But you can't sit there and be so judgmental about, well, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, because you think you can control them.
What blows my mind about people like that is it took you however many years, based on your age, for you to get to be who you are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it took them however many years it took for them to get to where they are. Why would you think that they're going to change who they are overnight? Just because you said so, just because you want them to. Who are you?
Because you said it before, brother, because you said a lot of times people have,
preconceived notions.
That's correct. When they meet somebody, they already know already their intentions from the gate. They know already. You know, I got intentions for you. I see what's going to happen to you. I'm going to upgrade you, kind of borrow that term a little bit. You know, this is what's going to happen to you. But newsflash, that homie or that whatever, the young lady or young man is like, you know, I got something for you. It's on my time. Now you're getting all mad and frustrated.
Yeah. As opposed to just taking your time, being patient until you come across that person that you're looking for that matches the description of the person that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. You said patience, brother. You may have to repeat that for a couple of listeners.
Man. Just have enough patience, like I said, to look for the person that you are actually looking for. So many people that they just, I want something right now, so you decide you're going to just, I'll deal with this person, and he dressed kind of jacked up, but I can fix that. He acts all the time. He's a little shabby on the whole holding the door or saying please when he asked me to do something, but I could fix that. I could change him.
Okay, change him.
You might change you. Change you into just being receptive to the way the hell he is. So somebody's going to be changed. And your mind going to be changed, or he's going to change the way he is or whatever, but I'm more than likely that person that's the way that they are is going to stay the way that they are. They want it for you. But you went and you played craps, and you crapped out.
And oh, Gina from South Jersey just told she love you. Gina from South Jersey just texted that she love you.
Ditto. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Gina, because, you know, they're hitting the text. They're not on Facebook, but they're hitting the text through the website. So we appreciate it. Gina, I'm going to text him. He hears you. So if you listen to Gina, you know,
we're
with you. She loves
love
your mom.
Thank you, Gina.
I just think that you may have just sent a message to her spouse. It's all good.
I love him too.
Listen, we're not trying to get nobody hurt. We're not trying to get nobody jammed up. You know, we're just speaking from reality, you know. And a lot of times, a lot of our topics and dialogues just come from everyday talking, everyday conversations. I mean, those checking out the show, my man here, Eddie, and his sister Raven, sometimes they can say something, a topic, for whatever reasons. They're walking topics. I mean, I could talk to this man, you know, for maybe about a half an hour to an hour, and he can give me at least 10 topics alone. Alone. And then, you know, the thing about what you do, Brother Eddie, and that I appreciate a lot of our listeners also can agree with me. You know, if I'm wrong, please email me, text me, send me a letter, however you want to put it. This man don't just talk about a topic. He goes into the topic. And what we do is, you know, I try to kind of lay the topic out, but he does something different that a lot of men and people don't do. So, and I'm going to say God has got a blessing for you, brother, because the topic. You know, behind the scenes, I'm gonna tell the listeners, that, okay, if I share what I what I said with you to the topic, he kind of... It's gonna sound for my people in the hood. For people in the hood, y'all know what I mean by this. He kind of raised the topic.
not co-signing on no rape or anything like that. But this man in the streets will get, you know, really gangster with the topic. He gets all into it, and you know, sometimes you're like, yo, get out of it, get out of it. But he's in it so deep, and then you, the next you know, he's in the topic, and you look at things in a different perspective by the time he's done. So I wanted to say I appreciate, you know, what you do, and that's why you got the blessing of the go for the TV show. And also you got the blessing from myself because, you know, we're going to run with this. You know, we're going to run with this talk show, brother, and that's why it's going down next month. It's going down next month. You know, you're going to have your stamp all over it, and we're going to do what we do best, you know. But I just want to say I appreciate it, brother, because every time I talk to you, you got me getting enlightened. And, of course, I got to have a dialogue with my lady after the show. And then now with the brothers, when I'm going down to the court, we're instead of us talking about cases. Now, hold up. Excuse me for a minute. Instead of talking about cases in court, we're in the back of the courtroom talking about the TV show, talking about the talk show. And these muscular dudes about, you know, you're like, everybody's about 230, 225, everybody all buffed up. We talking about relationships, and they're whispering. Listen, man, you know, won't you ask Brother Eddie this? No, you call in. I can't call in, because if I'm on a task force, I'm getting you to down look tough. So you got a bunch of big dudes, you know, maybe 12 deep in the back, you know, to get the uniforms on. Everybody got the suits on, looking sharp, and we all whispering, you know, man, what can I do to make my lady a little bit more happy? What can I do? I'm like, oh, wait a minute, brother. Hold up. Wait a minute. I'm going to bring these questions to my man. You know, I'm not your mouthpiece. So basically at this point, brother, I've been a designated mouthpiece in the courts.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I'm not putting it out on blast. That's why I give them a shout out. That's all I want to do. But, you know, your voice and your message, man, is getting to a lot of brothers. You know, those professional, those in the street, you know, those out there with their following, because you never know. I mean, for the listeners, you never know who's listening to you. You never know who's following you, you know, but you always watch because God has a purpose.
Man, you got to watch what you pray for, man, because I prayed for this for the longest time, man, to have a platform to where I can have people's ears, man, just try to share stuff to enlighten people and empower them at the same time, because I'm not here to try to force my views on anybody, but I am here to give them a different perspective so now that they can make an educated decision as opposed to a narrow-minded one. Because you're not empowered if all you think you have is what you have. And it bothers me. That's not free will. If you don't have options, you don't have free will. You just have your situation. And I just want people to just start looking at things in a manner that it's like, you know what, I don't have to deal with this, or I don't have to look at this. Because in the end, and I was saying that a little earlier, you decide whether you're happy or mad. That's a decision that you make. It's not, I mean, people, you know, they talk about emotions or whatever. I'm not sure if I told you before, I saw as a guy who was in the lobby, and he had a cup of coffee. And he poured a cup of coffee and put it to his lips and took a sip and snapped. Why the hell is this coffee cold? Who makes cold coffee? I mean, went in on the fact that the coffee was cold. And then, like 2 weeks later, we all, for lunch, we went to Starbucks, and he bought a cold coffee. It was the happiest dude in the world. And I said, So his problem wasn't the fact that the coffee was cold in the office. The problem was his expectations was that the coffee was going to be hot, and it didn't align with his expectations. So he decided to be mad because he likes cold coffee. It's evident. He went to Starbucks and bought a cold coffee and was happy. So our emotions, how we feel about stuff, is a decision that we make. I'll give you the same scenario. My wife, several months ago, our daughter's old babysitter, her mother passed away. So my wife decided she's going to go to a wake. Wake triggered my daughter's ear because she went to my wife's grandmother's wake, and she saw how my wife and them responded to her grandmother at the wake. So she immediately asked my wife, hey, Mom, are you going to cry at the lady's wake? And my wife immediately said, no, I'm not going to cry at the lady's wake. And my daughter looked confused.
The reason why she was confused is because when she saw my wife at her grandmother's wake, my wife was crying. So why did I bring that up? There's two women that died.
Mm-hmm.
They both were at a wake attended by my wife. One woman, a woman that my wife mentally decided that, hey, I didn't know her long enough for me to necessarily have an emotional attachment to her, for me to cry at her wake. Then you have her going to my wife's grandmother's or her grandmother's wake, and she cries because in her mind, that is my grandmother. I've been with her for all these years. This is supposed to be she decided that this is a sad moment, so I'm going to cry. So
okay.
It's the same situation. Different decisions that you make based on the facts that you've concluded or brought to yourself. You decide whether you're happy or sad. You decide that whether this situation is a good situation or a bad situation. It's all in your decision and based on what you conclude with the information that you had. Your emotions are a decision that you make. And that's I said all that just to say that. It's the decision that you make. The dude was not mad that the coffee was cold. He was mad that his expectations of the coffee was for it to be hot, and it didn't align. So that's what caused us to be mad. We get disappointed, or like I said, we just take information and we conclude certain things as opposed to deciding that, you know what, who said that I have to be sad about this? And we get so concerned or worried about what other people feel. And now it's gotten to the point, and I flip this. At the wake, my daughter's grandmother leaned her over to show her mother, and she was crying. My daughter, well, she was probably four or five, looked up to her and said, Nuna, which is what she calls my wife's grandmother. She said, isn't your mom going to see Jesus? And she said, yes. And my daughter looked at her and said, well, why are you crying? So her mom wiped her tears and was like, well, dang, that's a good question. Why am I crying? He's going to a good place. That's what my daughter concluded. She heard so many great things about Jesus. So she knew that she was going to Jesus because the day prior to, I had talked to my daughter because I knew that's where she was headed. That was her first funeral. And she said, well, why are you crying? If he's such a good person, why are you crying? But now that my daughter has seen so many funerals and saw so many people crying, all that went out the window, and now she cries when she goes to a funeral. Because her environment, you feel what I'm saying? Her environment has caused her to conclude that this is a sad thing, where at first she decided that it wasn't a sad thing because she knew where he was going. But even now that she knows where people are going, when we go to the funerals, she concludes that it's a sad thing based on what life has taught her it is. And
wow.
I'm done with that.
Wow.
So it's a
wow.
decision.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a decision.
Deep moment.
You make.
That was deep.
It's a decision you make.
Now, let me see. I think we got another call. I'm not sure if this call is listening. This is an unidentified number. Let's see what we got here. Let me check it out.
Hello.
Oh, you're unlocking the Man Up Talk Show. Hello?
I just want to say, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that I really enjoy listening to me and talk about real life and real life situations.
Thank
and that
you.
When it comes to Eddie, this is sick. When it comes to Eddie, I co-sign on him wholeheartedly. He is real. He is an honest person. He has decided at a young age to do what all of us should have done years ago without making all the mistakes years later.
Oh, wow.
Rather than walk
so
away, he found a way to fix it. And for those of us that's been divorced one, two, maybe three, four times or whatever's going on, we should have made some better choices maybe earlier in life.
I hear you, sister. I hear you.
Stop laughing.
You hold on, sister. You said, oh, I'm sorry. You said three or four times.
I'm just enjoying the show, just listening to you guys talk, because it's rare for men talk and actually share their true feelings and their true emotions, and that's just really a blessing for the men
you
out
know,
there.
Sister, I appreciate that. Brother Eddie, me personally as a man, I've learned as I got older personally that it's okay to talk about your feelings. And I think real men should talk about how they feel and stop trying to, that old cliche, men don't talk, men hide their feelings. So from hearing from a sister and other sisters like yourself, we appreciate it. We love you for that.
Thank you.
All right.
You be safe. Take care.
I'm gonna put you back on the hold. You know, once again, you know, we do appreciate that type of stuff that goes down. You know, Sister Raven, Tony, and many other of the followers and listeners. Gina hit us again. She's like, I love you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Gina, thank you.
Man, I mean, we're getting some love tonight. You know, once again, you know, those who tune in. It's the Man Up Talk Show. We got my brother Eddie, Sister Raven. She's online. She's playing the background because she had a busy day yesterday. The show was great, by the way. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. My man Hassan Black, he hit me with a I like button on Facebook. You know, I'm like,
I miss you, man. Hassan, come back, man. Where you at?
No, he tried to, you know what, matter of fact, I'm going to let you know. Now, I was sick last week. Was it last week, brother? I think it was.
Yeah,
now,
you had Ebola last week. It was last week you had Ebola.
No, check it out now. He got sick, and it was crazy because we were talking about, like, your brother, you know, I had the frog in my voice. I had the sexy Barry White voice deeper than what I had now going on. So I was like, you know, yo, Hoss, man, you know, you call in. He said, but damn, man, don't talk to me like that, man. I'm about to give you my number. So... So no, but it's crazy because he got sick this week. So he was out of work this week. Like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. I got a cold in my damn eye. So I'm like, damn, brother. So he is following. I'm trying to get my brother. For those who don't know, Hassan, Brother Hassan is one of my partners in crime up here in Jersey. He's on the DJ side. He's also professional with New Jersey Transit. That's my man. You know, he's an insightful brother as well. But he's been doing a lot of things, and I believe he did get the scholarship for his son. They got a scholarship.
That's
not sure what the college is, but his son will be going to full ride scholarship. So it's
that's
God is good. Congratulations to his brother Hassan and his
son.
But listen, man, brother Eddie, I'm trying to get him on. You know, hook or crook, if I gotta be at his house and do this show, we're gonna do this. He told me, he said, listen, tell Brother Eddie, I'm there, just tell him to be there with him. See, Hoss is kind of like in the background sometimes, you got to kind of pull him out, but except when we go out, he want to be debonair, he want to throw on the gear and stuff like that, so that's how he rolls. But, you know, tonight's topic was basically about what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Hopefully.
Think that you really attacked the topic tonight, Brother Eddie. You helped me understand a little bit more that it all comes down to patience. At the end of the day, I know we talk about cliches and saying certain things, but I can't help but keep hearing that in my head. You know, it's patience. It's patience to persevere. It's patience to stay strong in what you're doing because, you know, no matter what you do, there's a positive. And I mean, you know, I had a couple of struggles with me being sick, and then I had a couple other financial things I've dealt with like everybody else. That's dealt with things, I started smiling. I don't know where it came from. Maybe it was God.
Mm-hmm.
I just smiled. You know what? It ain't going to get no worse. Me crying over spilled milk. If the old terminology, and we're going to talk about that too, about certain cliches that we say sometimes. I just smiled, man, because you know what? I said, you know what? Somebody always had it worse. And when I said that to myself, I kind of said, you know, damn. It's going to be all right. You know, me griping about extra dollars I don't have in my pocket or something I'm going through, it ain't going to get no worse. I got to deal with it, handle it like a man. Or for our ladies, you still got to handle your situation no matter what. You got to deal with it. It's going to be brighter. If you have bills, people, especially to our black people, I know it's cliche, they say black people don't pay their bills. Pay your damn bills. If you have a job, pay your damn bills. Pay your bills. Because the understanding, if you didn't have a job, the situation would be worse than before. So I looked at it like, you know what, I'm blessed enough to have a job, man, that I can pay my bills. I mean, I have it now, but I take care of these bills. you know, things gonna get better for me. So that's when I say that because it's just a little experience that I went through personally, and like yourself, I kind of want to share that with the listeners. You know, I had to go through. I had to smile. So you know, it is what it is. Let me handle this. And
yeah.
Right now, that bill, there's a couple of bills going. Amen.
That's right.
That's it. So I mean, I'm with you 110% because you definitely opened my eyes. You know, and man, you do things, man. You do things. You know, once again. Tonight, you got me running through the wall again. Tonight, after the show's over, I'm running through the walls. You know, when I say I'm running through the walls, that means you got me motivated. I'm ready to get on my Superman cape. I'm ready to do what I do. But this is my man, Eddie. You know, that's why I support him 110%. And he's a great brother. And if you're around great men and individuals who motivate you, that's nothing but a blessing. So, Brother Eddie, do what you do always, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Oh, no doubt, man. Right now, I saw a Hallmark moment coming.
Oh, Lord. Well, we better wrap it up quick. You're already 10 minutes late.
Well, you know what, man? We are going to wrap it up. But listen, the show coming to the end, you know, it was a great discussion. Brother Eddie, I think right now I'm going to turn it over to you because you need to let the listeners know what projects you got going on, what's happening with the future of Brother Edward L. Fairley Enterprises, or, you know, everything that you do. Let the listeners know a little bit, because we got a future going on, bro.
I'm Eddie L. Fairley, Edward L. Fairley. I prefer Eddie. But I'm just a public speaker, an author, a full-time public speaker and author, and I'm just, honestly, I live every single day with the mentality of I want to be an obvious change for the world. I want to be able to die without dying, meaning when I'm gone, I'm still living through my thoughts, my views, and whether it's in others, how I birthed the seed in someone that caused them to do something. I just want to continue to live through other people. There's so much stuff that I wish I could just share my brain, which it seems that, again, watch what I ask for, because now people are allowing me to have platforms that allow me to share my brain with the people as to how I think and view things. And it looks like the TV show might very well be the same as the radio show called To the Root of It, which basically the concept came from when I listen to doctors, counselors, and celebrities speak about these issues or problems or what have you, what they tend to do is give you solutions to the symptoms as opposed to getting to the root of the problem and seeing what the actual problem is and actually giving you the solution to the problem, which in turn causes you to cure or suppress the daggone symptom that they sent the solution for, but you keep on having other symptoms because they didn't cure the actual problem. So if I give you some sniffling medicine, but you have the flu, of course you're going to have the shakes and all that stuff after I take care of those sniffles. We need to give you something for the flu so that we can get rid of anything that's coming. So that's what I mean by getting to the root of it. We are not going to, like you said, we go into the topics, we go into the topics. That's because I'm digging and trying to get to the root of the issue so that we can resolve the actual issue as opposed to coming up with some kind.
I think we just had a little technical difficulty. I think we're going to be all right now. But, no, Brother Eddie, I think we just got disconnected shortly, but he'll be back on shortly. You know, Brother Eddie was basically talking about the root of it, you know. I think we lost him for a hot minute, so I think it's will be all right. He'll tune in shortly. You know, Brother Eddie, you know, the show that he's about to go down is, you know, to the root of it, that the Shadow Worlds will be producing. And, you know, we are honored to have him a part of what we're doing, you know, and we truly appreciate, you know, him being on board with us and what we're doing here. You know, we got this thing with Brother Eddie. You know, he'll be back on shortly. So hopefully I get to close it out correctly. Sister Raven, you still online with us?
I'm here, honey.
Okay. Brother, I think it appears to be really lost him a little bit, but it's okay.
It's okay.
So,
we can still hold it down for him.
Yeah, we're gonna close it out for him. I know there's a lot of things that's going on, and you know we can't do what we do without positive listeners, support.
Right.
You know, Sister Raven and what she does with her talk show, and we hope that we are being a positive influence to a lot of our listeners. You know, not just
mm-hmm.
talking,
exactly,
just to be talking. You know,
right.
having real dialogue, real conversations for everyday people. You know,
right.
Raven has you know her concept and what she does for you know adult talk. We try to add from a roundtable perspective, talk about real talk from real experience. Excuse me, that what we go through. Me personally, I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be an expert. I don't claim that
right.
I'm his father. I'm the best man. I talk from things that I've dealt with. I talk from experiences. I try to look at it from a real perspective. I don't have a PhD. I'm just a regular man. I'm not going to say average because God has made me more than average because God
right.
makes every person individual, and I don't consider myself average by a long shot. I consider myself as an individual, and I'm
mm-hmm.
proud that God has put me and made me who I am. So I tell all my brothers and sisters, especially my young black brothers, I'm not discounting any of our Hispanic brothers of colors or Caucasian brothers and sisters,
right.
but I'm,
mm-hmm.
I have to talk from a perspective that I can relate to.
Right.
Keep your head up. Keep doing what you do. Keep persevering. Don't become status quo. Don't become what they label you. Labels
mm-hmm.
are just telling you, hey, listen, you know, you're not going to be nothing. Be what you're destined to be. If you think that, hey, listen, no, I want to be a veterinarian or whatever. Do that. Do not
right.
be scared. Don't become what they label you. You know, so I'm
mm-hmm.
talking from a real place. I talk to all my young brothers, if it's from New York to New Jersey to Virginia to North Carolina to Louisiana. Big shout out to Louisiana. I got a text from you guys, and I hear you. I love you. We appreciate the support and love. Big shout out
and
to
Louisiana. And speaking of Louisiana, don't forget, you got an assignment. You know that, right?
Oh, yes, right. Dr. Hip Hop. What's his name?
Dr. Ronnie Whitfield.
Dr. Ronnie Whitfield, I hear you, brother. I'm with you. Got you. I'm going to take care of your intro. There's also a couple of interesting guys to take care of. We appreciate you guys. Raven, appreciate you, you know, having the vision in linking me and Brother Eddie together. I appreciate that because, you know what, because you've seen something and God has put something on you to say, you know what, these men need to be together. And, you know, just off of our conversation based from Miss Tony Shannon, you know, shout out to Tony Shannon, link God don't make mistakes. You know,
mm-hmm.
we did a lot of us at the beauty salon until
yep.
now. It's crazy. It just grew.
It just grew
and it's been a blessing, and I want to say thank you to you, I mean, for seeing that vision and following through. Because a lot of people don't have
that. Thank you. It's just me paying it forward. That's how I see it. I'm here as a service, and I look at it as that. You know, God put me here to be a service to others, and that's really what I'm doing. I'm being a service to others, and I saw just by that first show, you know, when you invited me to the show, and then you and I had a conversation, and you wanted to do a show based on men and from male perspective, and I knew the first person off the top of my head. I knew, you know, I knew that Edward would be the perfect person to join the platform, and then it just went from there. It just went from there, and like I told him, when him and I had a conversation about his TV show, I told him, I said, I'm speaking it into existence. You're going to have it. It's going to happen, and look what happened.
Well, you know, God is good. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just testimony that things can happen. So, you know, those listening to the show, we appreciate your support. You know, the show, Brother Eddie, will be kicking off next month. It's going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shadow Wolf promoting the show. He's also had a TV show. We'll keep you in tune with it on our website, www.shadowworlds.com. That's Shadow Worlds. That's with a Z. .com. You can check out the website. You can also check out the upcoming shows of the Raven's Closet show. You can check out the Man of Talk show. The Man of Talk show is going down. We also have a couple of the best DJs in the tri-state area and through the country. These guys go down, myself included.
some of the guys, you know, just been doing what they do for everything from hip-hop to R&B to club music, you know. We're getting back on our grind, but, you know, it's part of a network, and we appreciate all those who tune in. So I think it's only appropriate, Raven, that I end off with something spiritual because you guys have really helped me. So, you know, we're going to play Best of Me, you know, Brother Marvin Sapp. I think it's only appropriate. So for those who've been checking out the show, we thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Raven, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know I'm here. You guys are my brothers, and I got your back. You know that.
No doubt. Let's play this in the out of here. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Have a good weekend.
The best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? One more time. I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah.
Everyone else.
Anybody have that testimony? When Bob walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah. Oh.
When everyone else around me,
could
only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine. And I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine. And I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me.
Can I sing the verse one time? Listen to this, y'all. I love this. I love this. See, he's mine, and I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did, but he only sees me who I am. Ooh, Lord, yeah. He's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did, he only sees me who I am. Sing it one time, we're gonna go past it. He is mine, oh, oh, oh.
He's mine and I'm his.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter what it is.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
And the reason why he sees me for who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
I'm his.
It doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I feel.
He only sees me.
He only sees me.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Brother Eddie. I think we lost Brother Eddie for a minute there, but we held it down for him. Brother Eddie, if you hear the show right now, you can call right back in. We got 3 minutes left for the show. You know, I just thought it was appropriate at the time that we played Brother Marvin Sapp, you know, seeing the best in the person. So I mean, you know, I just felt it was needed that we had to do that, you know. So you know, so Eddie calls. You know, right now I got Brother Eddie calling the other line now. So you know, hopefully we can get him back online to kind of finish out the show. We think it's only appropriate. So, you know, we got about 2 minutes left. So, you know, for those who've been checking this out, you listen to the Man Up Talk show. Brother Eddie, if you listen to the show now, you can call back in line. Exactly. I think he had a situation where his lines was down. But we can try to hold it down. No, we'll be back on, brother. I held it on for you. You know, we played... you know, as a close down the show.
You saw the best in me.
Yeah, you know, because you know what, man? You motivated me, bro. You know, it's only right. You know, I told you, bro, running through walls, man. You know, you getting a TV show because I know you're going to back a brother up on a TV show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
And, you know, that's what I was saying, man. You know, you know, like I told the listeners, man, you know, you motivate me to do what I do. And I told you before, we got this project together that, you know, I don't like to waste my time, you know. And you're the same type of cat, you know. You don't like to waste your time.
You know.
But I know you're passionate what you do. But we got a minute, man. I think you want to finish. You got about a minute, 90 seconds. What you want to tell the listeners, brother?
I don't know where I was cut off, but and you can find anything that you want to know about me on my website, www.edwardfairley, that's F as in Frank, AIRLEY.com. For those who like relationship stuff, there's a thought of the day that I have up there that says thought of the day. You click on that. I do that Monday through Friday. I do a relationship thought of the day, some pretty good stuff, pretty intense stuff, going in depth on different problems or whatever, just give you different things to think about or ponder over. I'm on Facebook. Please feel free to hit me on my fan page or my personal page. I will gladly accept your friendship, and we can chat it up through there. I also do coaching, relationship coaching. I have packages on the shop, the IQ shop portion of my website. So you can go there, purchase the book. You can download it directly, or you can purchase the book. And I will, if you purchase it from my website, you'll be purchasing it directly from me as opposed to my distributors. And if you get it from me, I will sign the book and send you something else as well. With that, that's just it, man. Any way that I can help or be of assistance to you all, there's so much about me online or that you can get. Just look me up, and I'm my open book. If you got any questions or anything, just hit me up. That's it.
Hey there, brother. Once again, man, great show, man. Listen, you know, we all go through things, man, but I appreciate you, brother. But listen, we'll be seeing you guys next week. You know, big things are happening here in Shadow Worlds Radio. Big things happen for Brother Eddie and, you know, excuse me, Everett L. Fairley, the author, the motivational speaker and host, soon-to-be TV host and radio show host, which he's doing right now. And it's going down. So we appreciate everybody that's support and love. You know, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Georgia, North Carolina, California, Ohio. We appreciate the support. We'll check you out next week. Peace.
All right.